If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQBars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQBar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQBar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQBar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQBar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
If your goal is trying to put on muscle, there's some interesting ways to skin it, but sometimes people are just skinny and need to be bigger to handle more weight and just be able to train with more intensity. Hey, Powerheads. I want you to buckle in and prepare yourself for one of the coolest podcasts we've done in recent memory, The Bulking on a Budget. You get a ton of questions on people. How do you get big? How do you get jacked? Especially in this time of hyperinflation when all of a sudden costs have been going up as much as 10%. So if you're going to bulk on a budget and you want to put on lean, thick slabs of muscle and pair with any of our programs, you can check out the Bulking Protocol, but you can also tune into this podcast to figure all the tips and tricks on how to bulk on a budget. If you want to check out more on nutrition, go to powerathletehq.com/nutrition for all things Power Athlete Nutrition.
Yeah, and if you got little alligator arms, we got an opportunity for you to save 20% on all nutrition protocols with code EATTHEWEEK.
All caps.
All caps. EATTHEWEAK.
All caps. So stay tuned as Rob and Sam, our nutrition ninjas from Power Athlete, jump on and give us their take on bulking on a budget and help you set up the most effective plan to get thick and jacked and juicy.
Alrighty then, let's begin. So we are talking bulking on a budget.
I am a huge fan of bulking. I love
bulking. I thought you were going to say budgeting.
I do like the idea of
penny
budgeting.
Pinching Wellborn.
Yeah, no. I do like the idea of budgeting. The problem is there invariably something throws me a curveball at every budget I've ever put together. Like you put together a budget, you hit it, and then something just completely crushes it. Like you come across like a 42-ounce Kobe Tomahawk at the butcher shop that you just happen to be in looking for not that, and then you take it home and completely destroys your budget. How do we put together a plan to where not only can we put on some thick size, but we can also do it intelligently without completely going off the rails and blowing our budget?
similar to a nutrition plan, right?
I like it.
It's a metaphor. Well, we have a specific question from a user. Is this coming from one of your athletes, guys, or somebody reached out to you with this question?
It's athletes. Yeah, it's okay. An athlete.
All right, so I got it here. I'm going to read it, and then we'll kick it off. Here we go. I'm on the bulking protocol doing Jack Street. I'm trying to put on muscle, and it is a lot of food. With the price of food these days, do you have any advice on how I can stretch my food dollar while pursuing my quest to look like The Rock? I mean, that's a big goal.
Well, he's free. He's got to shave his head. He's going to have to shave his head.
And get some tattoos.
Yeah, he's going to have to get some tattoos. Black and Samoan, it's going to be a tough one too.
Yeah, so. Gen X plays in that one.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So I'll take this first question. And John, can you give us a brief on what is Jack Street? So people that are just joining us, what is Jack Street, the specific program that we have for targeting building muscle?
Yeah, so Jack Street was created many, many years ago in the crucible of what was old Power Athlete HQ. It started with a simple bet that certain individuals had to either gain 10% of their body weight to put on muscle, or if you could gain more muscle, basically losing 10% of your body weight. And, you know, as we were sitting in a small office, a lot of arguments ensued. A bet was placed that involved, I think it was $100 and something else. I can't remember what the other piece was. And Luke and Tex gained 10% of body weight. Kelly and I had to lose 10% of body weight. The program lasted 22 weeks. Wrote a very cool version of the Power Athlete program based upon putting on hypertrophy by cycling both intensity and volume, finding some really interesting stuff in terms of like shadow max rep sets and just hitting some classic bodybuilding. The program was so successful that we ended up launching on Train Heroic, and it's become not only one of our most successful program, but I believe the most successful, biggest program on Train Heroic. So if you're interested in following the number one program on Train Heroic, Jack Street's your one.
Yeah, back then, I had to put on 10% cultivating mass that I'd never had before. And the biggest thing, realization that I had is that eating basically became more difficult than the training.
Yeah.
So eating like I had a second job.
How much muscle did you put on?
12 pounds of muscle, so 20 total pounds, but 12 of it muscle, 8 where it was, I guess, non-functional tissue mass. I don't know what it was.
Well, it was fat.
What?
Yeah. We call that
also
fat.
More water, because you have to hold on to more water with more muscle.
Yeah, I'm going with water.
What was interesting, Luke ended up putting on 25 to 30 pounds of body mass and gained absolutely no muscle, because we did bod pods.
I did DEXAs.
So you did a DEXA. We did bod pods. Luke gained zero muscle, and actually I lost the 10% and I gained something like 12 pounds of muscle.
Yeah.
Which still doesn't make a lot of sense to me how I gained muscle and lost weight. Callie actually ended up hitting her goal and she lost weight and gained muscle.
Yeah.
So it ended up kind of figuring it out that like sometimes bulking is, you know, like I think in terms, if your goal is trying to put on muscle, there's some interesting ways to skin it, but sometimes people are just skinny and need to be bigger.
Yeah.
And that to handle more weight and just be able to train with more intensity.
Yeah. And this is what I wanted to lead to. It doesn't necessarily mean gaining weight alone. It's gaining lean muscle mass. And a big part of that is protein. So bulking on a budget, how much protein do we need a day as on the Power Athlete bulking protocol? And what are some foods that can help get us there the fastest?
I will defer to my nutrition ninjas.
Yeah. So to gain muscle mass, I'd say anywhere between that 1 to 2 grams per pound of body weight. And the bulking protocol will delineate for you where you need to be based on your lifestyle, whether you have a gut, you see abs, because that's going to also depend the way it calculates your macronutrient split. Budget wise. And I know Rob did a really awesome spreadsheet of this for the call as well. But chicken thighs are going to be a great source, because on the bulking protocol, your protein and fat is going to be higher on the leaning. So you don't have to be stuck with chicken breast and fish, you fortunate folks out there. But chicken thighs, you can do that 80-20 beef, which is cheaper than like the 90-10 or the 93-7. Yogurt, cottage cheese, full fat, everything, eggs, whole eggs. But Rob, what was on your spreadsheet that you came up with specifically for those?
Well, I mean, like you just said, and when you look at the bulking protocol, you know, fat is a big piece of this because you're just looking for calories. So when you really start to look at some of these things, and what I did was I looked at Kroger's because that's such a national brand, but you can kind of get it down to, you know, price per ounce. And then, you know, most things are looking at like a 4 ounce serving, which would be really small for most people, but you're looking at anywhere from about 17 cents for like eggs per ounce or like egg whites per ounce to up to 66 cents per ounce for things like grass fed beef, which are, is going to be, you're on the expensive side. So really when you're kind of looking at a lot of these things, like you said, the chicken thighs really work really well. The fried or frozen chicken breasts work really well. Tunas and salmon is pretty reasonably priced while still getting pretty bang for your buck protein. So most of these are somewhere between 19 and 24 grams for a 4 ounce serving, which most people on, especially guys on a guy like this wanting to be the Rock, he's going to be a lot more than 4 ounces per serving. So he's looking at getting, you know, 68 to 70 grams per meal. So, you know, really looking at like ground turkey, canned tuna, chicken thighs are going to be some of the best bang for buck as far as budget wise, since we are in a inflationary.
Don't say it. I want to double down on the chicken thighs. This is an easy go-to.
What? So chicken thighs are a hedge against inflation?
I'm going to, yeah, on my budget. Yeah. But yeah, no. Thighs, dude, it's so much cheaper. And then side by side by chicken breast.
I always thought you were more of like a butt man. I didn't know you were a thigh guy.
I'll take anything, John.
Man, don't forget about pork. Speaking of butt, like pork shoulder.
Yeah, he loves a pork butt.
Bacon. go take it away, Sam.
Oh, no, pork shoulder. We just did one for Father's Day. And, of course, they always run sales around holidays. But I think it was $1 a pound. It was some ridiculous deal. And we're like, hey, we're cooking it tonight. Like, that is very inexpensive for a lot of protein.
Yeah, and then HEB, my grocery store, gives a price per ounce. I don't know if that's a regular thing.
Yeah.
But aim to take that into the protein section as well.
No, and you can always just get like kind of, I refer to them as sloppy roasts, because when you go like in the meat counter, like the one that's like just kind of looks sloppy is usually the best one. And then you cook those in. Actually, we cook them in the pressure cooker.
Or the tags that say 25% off, eat or freeze immediately.
That's the ones I
like. And do that. Yeah, you got to do it.
ribs aren't overly expensive. I know that I like pork ribs much better than spare ribs or the baby backs, but the spare ribs are usually pretty inexpensive. So, and those are also cool, especially if you do them in a slow cooker, because you can do them with like a green chili sauce, and they cook really well. So
yeah.
I think it really just comes down to, and I said this from day one, if you're bulking on a budget, you have to put some preparation ahead of time. Like, you're going to have to go out, you're going to have to meal prep, you're going to have to actually go out and shop and put a little thought into this. I think that where most people screw their budgets, one is they go to the grocery store hungry, which is my number one thing. Don't ever go to the grocery store hungry. It's funny. My wife, when we go to the grocery store, I can tell when she's hungry, when she starts buying just really weird, random shit. I'll be like, what is this? And she's like, I don't know why it's even in there. I'm like, because you're hungry. The other one is, I think if you don't put a plan together on how you're going to feed yourself, you end up making last minute terrible decisions.
Well, this is the beauty of the bulking protocol, because it essentially is a plan. So we do our offer. I'll go shameless plug right now, 20% off all of our nutrition protocols with code Eat the Week.
All capitals.
Yeah. Eat the Week, WEAK on that one. But the importance of having a plan. So Sam or Rob, who can best explain like the value of a protocol? Like, what's the operation? If I log in,
What am I looking at to help me prepare and plan?
Yeah, the protocols are awesome because you're going to go in, you're going to put your gender, your weight, current weight, and then it's going to ask you, I touched on it a little bit, like, how do you view yourself? Are you fat? And you have like a jiggle?
Be honest.
Are you like moderate? Yeah, be honest. Cause
how jiggly are you?
How jiggle? Oh, that's like that Instagram reel that's like, whatever. Anyway, money don't jiggle.
Now I
want to
know what the Instagram reel is.
I don't know. It's the audio and it's like, my money don't jiggle, jiggle. It folds. We can cut that out.
No, we're keeping that in. But keeping it's a keeper. Charles is going to cut the Post Malone. Role, role. You know what I'm talking about? Every time I see Charles driving his car, he's just listening to Post Malone. So weird.
Posty. I don't know. So back to the protocol. It's going to ask you where you're currently at with your body composition. And then the cool thing is it's going to spit out different ways to break up your meal throughout the day. So you could choose 5 meals in a day. You could choose 3 meals in a day. You can also put in where you're going to work out. So are you going to work out before meal 1 or before meal 2? And so it helps you plan a little bit of carb cycling around your workouts. And so then you can literally look at that spreadsheet and say, cool, I need 5 ounces of protein here, 10 ounces of protein here, 30 grams of carbs, a serving of fat, whatever your meal looks like. And it's just pulling in like, hey, chicken, broccoli, rice, and peanut butter sounds good. Or a fattier cut of ground beef with potatoes and Brussels sprouts sounds good. And you can just plan your meals very simply that way.
Yeah, and this helped me on our previous Hammy 90.
Hammy.
Yeah, print that out and then taking it into the grocery store and then seeing, okay, X amount of chicken thighs. This is $9. I'm going to get 3 meals out of this and take care of that.
Yeah.
I just got to eat the same meal all day, whatever.
I'm totally fine with that. The other one I do is I go to Costco. I don't know if you guys are big Costco guys, just because you're eating for one person, so it doesn't always make sense, even though in college – that was how we got big and jacked, was going to Costco, where you're like, I'm going to eat all 18 of these chicken breasts today. But going to Costco, they usually have some interesting deals. I was there recently, and I feel like Costco forgot the deals. I was like, man, this stuff is expensive as going to the supermarket these days. But they do on occasion have some good stuff. So if you're looking for bulk, especially if you're trying to feed a family, you know, Costco usually puts you in a pretty good place.
Bulking family.
Yeah, and you
like
can
it.
Also... do like online shopping. That's what I recommend. That's what we do in my house. And for my clients, cause you can go in section by section with your plan and pull what you need. So then if you are hungry or you're not thinking right, you're not going to be tempted to walk in the snack aisle or the candy aisle or the chip aisle.
But then you can't battle the temptation. Just like White Goodman from Dodgeball.
I like going to the supermarket.
I know. I like it to go
yeah,
too.
I like
but
this.
I want to give a small win today for me for not going down that aisle.
Which aisle?
Yeah.
All of them. Just take my lap and leave.
Yeah, but Tex, I mean, that's where you got to like go and like meet people. It's not like where you meet people at the supermarket.
Not in the cookie sector. I'll go to the vegetables. Oh, this avocado, just the amount of ripe.
Okay. Yeah. Well, seems weird, but... I do like the idea of like, I mean, that's pretty sharp being able to go online and select your stuff and then getting it delivered and kind of removing the temptation. I mean, that's actually probably one of the smartest things I've heard in a long time. I'm like, man, that's so good because it happens. You go to the supermarket, something like I go with a plan in the supermarket and we go probably 70-80% off where I'll get a bunch of stuff and I'll be like, I don't know why I got this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so
I got orange juice last night. And my excuse is Stan Efferding told me to.
Mm. So
4 years ago.
The one that I like is I found this gluten-free cornbread that you can cook in a cast iron pan. And that's phenomenal. And so that's like my idea. If I'm like, all right, if I'm going to do a carb refeed day, that cast iron gluten-free cornbread cooked in the thing is by far my most favorite thing. The only problem is then I try to give it to the kids and they'll be like, I don't like it. And at which point, like, my head pops off because I can't figure them out.
Yeah, we went to barbecue for Father's Day, and I had to eat chicken breast and Brussels sprouts while everyone else was eating pulled pork and cornbread muffins and hush puppies and French fries.
Nothing tastes as good as being thin.
God. Is that Mel Hinsman?
That is Callie. That is Callie's mom, Mel Hinsman. First of all, nobody said beauty was no. What did she say?
Hurts to be beautiful.
Yeah, it hurt because she was like, I guess the story goes, she was brushing Callie's hair and was like, when she was little, like ripped her hair out. She's like, ow. She's like, it hurts to be beautiful. And then the other one is, nothing tastes as good as being thin. So good old Mel Hinsman. So yeah, I use that one all the time on my.
I'd argue that. I tried, but I'd argue that right about now.
Well, you're close. So if I think we have components here. If you're bulking, the one thing that you don't want to do is if you're not training consistently, if you're not giving me at least 4 or 5 days a week, I would be hesitant to have somebody bulk. I had one guy be like, hey, can I do the bulking protocol? And I'm only training one day a week. And I was like, no. The bulking tends to work if you're burning enough calories and you're working through and you're, you know, hitting protein synthesis and you're creating a positive environment to bulk into. The one thing you don't want to do is just start overeating and do nothing and turn into just a, you know, major fat ass, because nobody's happy about that. As we've talked about on this podcast, carrying a bunch of excess body fat, extremely oxidative, and ends up, you know, skewing your health. I know when Luke gained all that weight, you know, and didn't gain any muscle, which was soul crushing for him. He had some metabolic issues, and those didn't resolve until he ended up leaning out and losing the weight. So I really kind of hesitate people on the bulk. If you're training and you have all the catalysts to effectively use it and kind of reconfigure it in positive ways, it is, don't bulk and then be like, oh, I've missed a month of training, but I'm still bulking. That's just called overeating.
Yes. And Jack Street's a lot of work. Yeah. So we're talking 5 to 6 days a week of training, and it's hard, it's heavy. And I mean, it's classic bodybuilding with the athleticism twist.
Yeah, no, it's power athletes interpretation. So, I mean, there's some classic bodybuilding, but I think in terms of movement selection, the way that we skin some stuff creates a little bit different environment. It's also something that can be done in a global gym and in the comfort of your own home if you have a garage gym, assuming you have some barbells and dumbbells and some other things. So I think we're
spotter machine needed.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I remember going through, and the reason that 22 Jack Street was so positive was, we were both training at Power Out. They were training at Balboa, and we would go to a, Metrics, which was a commercial gym. So with like, we were kind of working through the whole deal. And, by doing, having those different, opportunities to train different places, allowed for just a very robust program. So it was neat.
Well, with that hard work, we need energy and carbohydrates, and carbs get a dirty name. So to our nutrition ninjas, where would we lean on bulking on a budget, but now speaking specifically to carbs to fuel the fire?
I think rice especially is just because you can buy it in such bulk that, you know, it's going to last a long time and you're going to get quite a bit out of that. And from a, like, potatoes are great, but they're going to be a little bit more expensive, even if you go frozen wise, because I was looking at one in comparison, even at least with Kroger, that it ends up being about, I don't know, $1 a serving, I think it was, versus something like 15 cents a serving or something close to that, right? Like a five pound bag of Mahatma jasmine rice is like $7.49. So that's like 50, you know, quarter cup servings. So that's a lot of carbohydrates for very little amount of money. I think any of the rices are going to be that way. When you start to get into quinoa and buckwheat and some of those things, then you start to get a little bit more expensive per serving.
So. Yeah. Old Man Zangus was pretty sharp, and I remember him saying it, and then actually Mauro reiterating almost the exact same statement, which is it's a lot easier to eat a pound of pasta than it is a pound of rice. And so that was their idea of like, hey, like, you know, if you're going to use carbs and you need to eat a ton of carbs, you know, eating something like pasta, you know, you can sit down and eat 2 or 3 pounds of pasta. But, you know, it's almost impossible to eat a pound of rice. So The idea is like, if you want to, you know, and then, you know, we also run into like, well, what about the rice? You can also steam your rice with like chicken stock, beef stock, vegetable stock if you want to. But like, you know, definitely steaming it in the stock adds a completely different flavor to it. And then you just have to fit, you know, calculate in those calories. Being smart and being like, hey, if I'm in the bulk or in lean, whatever you're doing, being able to make your carb selection and that, like, you know, not all carbs are the same, and being intelligent on how you attack it.
Yeah. And I would say if you are bulking, rice would be more favorable, because kind of compared to that pasta analogy, I find potatoes are more filling than rice. So if you're having to hit a higher carbohydrate goal than you're used to, rice will be easier to stomach than potatoes. Also a big fan of oatmeal. So oatmeal is pretty inexpensive bang for your buck. And that can be, you can throw oatmeal, super versatile, and you can make meatloaf, throw it into protein shakes, smoothies, blend it, breakfast, a dinner or like a dessert before bed. It's very, it just takes on whatever flavor you want.
Delicious.
And it's delicious.
Next question. I know this is a problem that Luke experienced bulking, is that he found magic meals just to hit the calories, the protein, the macros and all that. But he was eating the same thing week in, week out. Now, what we took a step back from, and after his blood work is learned, and he went all in on the value of Roy G. Biv, variety, vegetables, vitamins, and minerals. So we won't let anyone make that same mistake, because the challenges that he faced following. So what's some guidance for hitting what we need to Roy G. Biv on a budget?
Eat in season. So now that it's summertime, things like watermelon, berries, summer squashes, zucchini, all of that's going to be a lot more affordable than like Brussels sprouts, which are a cold weather crop. So if you kind of follow the seasons, that can help with cost. Also, the least amount of prep, the more, you know, there's like the words, there's like the pick prep section where you can buy like pre-cut watermelon. That's going to be more expensive than buying the whole melon. Sure, you're getting the rind, but the more work that someone has done on that produce item, the more you're going to pay. That's why, you know, chicken tenderloins and chicken breasts, like there's a varying degree of price. So the more whole you can buy a product, the more affordable it's going to be.
I think that is absolutely correct. But like, one of the things that I think are undervalued and are a viable source is frozen vegetables and fruits. I was reading a study recently where they actually looked at that, and kind of over time, the value, the micronutrient value in the frozen held up. And that's likely because of decomposing of the fresh, right? So like over several days, the frozen will stay pretty true to what they were from the beginning because of how they're frozen. And now, of course, that's over long time, that will probably change. But in the short term, over the course of a couple weeks, you'll get a lot of bang for your buck out of that and not have any spoilage and things like that. So from a budgetary standpoint and from a micronutrient standpoint, it's actually a pretty viable source to have frozen vegetables, to have that on hand. I'm a big fan of that.
Talking about seed oils and preparation, I know now cheaper is not necessarily healthier, because we're seeing a lot more come out on seed oils and how they're negative for us. So just throwing this out there, if I'm looking for oils and preparation to help me cook all this cheap food, where should I go for the most bang for my buck, but still not fuck up my day?
Well, Sam had some really good input on this, and that getting people to actually calculate the amount of oil that they're using when they cook.
So yeah. I would just, in general, oils, olive oil, coconut oil. Olive oil is going to have a lower smoke point. So if you're cooking something on high heat, I'd go more towards a coconut oil. But olive oil is good for like light sauteing. But yeah, what was it? It was a drizzle turns into a pour really quick with oil. Yeah. So Measuring it out, because that even if you're bulking, that can be a lot of unwanted calories. I know personally, I eat a lot of peanut butter for my fat sources. But I have now started actually taking the peanut butter jar, putting it on the scale, and then scooping out the 16 grams or one serving that way. Because even using the tablespoon scoop, I was probably scooping 20, 25 grams.
Yeah.
Well, it looked full. And I'm like, wow, that's an extra, 50 to 100 calories, which if you're doing that three times a day, that's a lot.
Three times a sitting, yeah.
Yeah, no, like just more like nut butters are the death of everybody. I mean, they just I wonder if like that food alone is singly derailed, countless figure and bodybuilders just being like, I just ate an entire jar of this stuff.
Yeah,
I find that like it's kind of like cutting the onion. Like they're fine. Like just don't cut the onion. But yeah. I also do know, and I think Sam, the way you're kind of looking at it, if like you're eating some fairly lean form of protein, whether it be like, fish or chicken or whatever, mm-hmm. you're going to have to make up your fat. And I know that in terms of like the bodybuilding diet, like you're doing, it's a bigger amount of food. So like you can eat, like I'll eat like this 8 ounces of chicken, but I can also have this and this. Whereas if I just ate mm-hmm. 8 ounces of red meat, this is all I get. So I think exactly. It's kind of like just a higher volume of food. Mm-hmm. So, there's definitely some approaches in terms of like food selection that allows you to eat more. It's kind of like like vegetables. Like there's like certain vegetables are more nutrient dense than others. It's just kind of how you want to skin it, and more importantly. But one of my favorite questions on the bulk is like, well, how many vegetables do I need? As much as you can handle. Eat as much vegetables as you want. You need as much fiber as you can. And I remember that was an issue that Luke went through. Not getting enough fiber and then feeling like extremely backed up. And I was like, well, mm-hmm. fucking up the fiber, dude.
Yeah. And like opposite to what I'm doing right now is if you are like eating in a surplus, things like smoothies, protein shakes, those are going to help you get the volume of food you need, but not feel as full. Mm-hmm. Cause a lot of people, if you're sitting there eating back to the chicken breast, if you're eating 10 ounces of chicken breast or ground turkey, like it feels like a lot of food. But if you can get that in a patty or, you back to that oatmeal smoothie, if you do some like whole milk or yogurt with oatmeal, nut butter or coconut flakes and berries and protein powder, you can drink a lot more and not feel like bloated and gross.
So what would you say, so we've gone through pork, we've obviously gone through red meat, mm-hmm. we talked about chicken thighs and white. Is there a certain fish that you guys would recommend for the bulk? I mean, is there, I'm not a huge fan of like farm-raised salmon after I saw the way that it was raised. Not to say mm-hmm. that there's a huge difference in it, I just don't like the fact that they have to diet pink for us. What would be like a cheap fish? I remember when I lived in Florida, we used to be able to buy, I think it was called redfish. It was just like a real, it was just basically like a white fish to catch in Florida. I would never eat tilapia. I'd avoid tilapia. And the only reason I know was when we would scuba dive and skin dive, the tilapia were usually the first fish to show up to eat the trash. So they're kind of a trashy fish. I don't dig on them, but I know the redfish that we'd get in Florida were these big redfish, and it was fairly inexpensive. We'd be able to cook it in a pan. And we would do it with rice and kind of break it up and did it like a million different ways. So I think it depends on what you're looking for. But man, I remember Florida redfish was excellent. So
yeah, and fish is great. But again, that you're going to get more volume or just the quantity. Once it cooks down, the quantity you're going to be consuming is a lot more than pork or red meat. I've been really enjoying orange roughy. There's a local shop that has orange roughy, and it's, I don't know, it's a sweeter fish, but it's still dense, and that's really good. But it's no fat, so.
So then you're like, I gotta cover it in olive oil or do other things for it.
Oh, I just bake it with nothing except lemon on it.
Sounds really exciting.
Oh, yeah.
So Rob, what's your, since Sam is obviously getting in shape for her, bikini figure, bodybuilding stuff. You know, what would be your go-to meal if you were going to try to put on the bulk and you were like, I'm going out, I'm going to try to eat a ton of calories. What would you skin together?
I think for me, I would go with the chicken thighs, because they taste good. They're going to have quite a bit of fat in them. So I'm going to get a lot of calorie and protein out of it. I'm going to probably mix that with some sort of rice, just because I like rice with that. And then I'm going to throw in a bunch of peppers and different colors, and then probably have some other sides with it. And then I might even also have a side of cottage cheese just to really bulk up the meal. And I would probably mostly do that at home. I think, unfortunately, when you go out to eat, you're going to get a lot of junk calories versus actual, you know, real nutrition, just because of the way they prepare things. And I would just prefer to prepare it in my own kitchen and have a lot more control over it. So that would be my go-to. And then I would probably put some sort of hot sauce or salsa on top of it. Mm-hmm.
The restaurant that I think was the single best place to eat if you're in the bulk, because you'll consume more calories than you ever thought was singly possible for the meal, Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've ever been to the Cheesecake Factory, but they started putting the calories, like how many calories were in each meal on the menu. I'm
sure that killed their service.
Dude, you were like, you know, because there was a, when I lived in Philly, there was a Cheesecake Factory up in King of Prussia. And so we would go up there. John Ritchie lived in that area. So we would go there and we go to dinner. And I remember one time I looked and I forgot what I would get. But it was like, whatever. It didn't seem like a lot. And I remember being like, there's like 3,600 calories when I just got to dinner. And
well, there's also 3,600 items on the menu.
True. They do have a big menu. But I think if you want to throw your budget out the window, and not that Cheesecake Factory is expensive, but if you really want to pack on the LBs, go to Cheesecake Factory.
We're not going to end on that endorsement.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't even think they have one here in Texas. Do they have one here?
Well, it closed down.
There's one in Houston.
Well, that makes sense.
Only Raleigh.
It's the fattest city in America. I know from experience.
I'll tell you this. We went to a Houston Astros game 2 weeks ago. And I haven't spent much time in Houston, but I'll tell you, I was impressed by the amount of restaurants that they have. Like, it was unbelievable. Everywhere we went, like, there was just like two or three restaurants everywhere. And like, I feel like in Austin, you got to kind of like hunt for a restaurant. Like, you couldn't trip over food faster than you can in Houston. It's unreal.
Yeah. Houston's a neighborhood city for sure. You don't even ever have to venture out of your neighborhood to find almost anything you want.
Yeah.
Different clicks. It's cool like that. Both the Astros owner, restaurant group, Rockets owner, restaurant group. So both of those guys have monopolies of restaurants, moguls that bought them sports teams. So that's how fat Houston is.
So, I think was Houston voted fatter than New Orleans in terms of like overall fatness?
It gets my vote. I've been to both.
I think they're both in the top five for sure.
Yeah. Well, I
did my internship in Houston because I was a restaurant manager, and I interned in Houston for a summer.
So, what do you think?
Papado's Seafood Kitchen.
Yeah, that was my sister's first job. Papacito's, yeah. Mexican.
Papacito's. Oh, that Papacito's is right next door. The original. So good.
I've eaten at Papacito's. So whenever we would go play Houston, Jermaine Mayberry was from Texas, and like we always had to go to like it was either Papacito's or Papa Seafood, and then Papa Brothers Steaks is excellent.
It's really good.
And yeah. I went to school with the family, so it's actually Pappas.
But Pappas. They're Greeks.
Yeah. Yeah, they also have a Greek restaurant.
They have a Greek one now. Yeah,
well, that's because they're Greeks. Nice.
Yeah, Mamma Mia, something like that. My dad lives over there.
So if
we digress.
Sorry.
If people need help in the bulk, and I think we're experienced bulkers, they can not only reach out, but we also have this bitchin' service for nutrition coaching, where you can have Sam and Rob take you on this wonderful journey of packing on thick slabs of muscle. So if people want to get more information, where are they going to find it?
Our email, so nutrition@powerathletehq.com, that goes to me and Rob. If you want to individualize your communication, mine is Samantha Flaherty at powerathletehq.com. And Rob's is Rob Xline. It's the full name. Yep.
It is the full name.
All right. At powerathletehq.com. And we troll our inbox, you know, once a day.
So, yeah, I mean, what?
And the opportunity to get 20% off of your bulking protocol that you can print out and take the grocery store with you with the code Eat the Week. All caps.
All caps. Cool. All right, guys. Well, thanks for coming on and discussing the bulk. And hopefully people are listening, excited about the bulk, and then they reach out and hopefully.
Yep. Easy. powerathletehq.com/nutrition for everything that we talked about, including their contact information.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. That does it for another episode of the Power Athlete Nutrition Ninjas. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Now it's time for you to empower your performance. Head to powerathletehq.com/training to choose from a number of programs to meet your specific performance goals. And if you like to break a mental sweat too, visit academy.powerathletehq.com and become a real stakeholder in you or your athlete's success. Until next time, bye!
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy. But being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care. And BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today to get 10% off your first month.